We'll go ahead and kick off here. Yay! Oh my gosh. So I'm just going to let my super nerd out of the bag more than usual and say that I've been like kind of dreaming and waiting to have a book club in some facet of whatever I create. I've wanted to do this for like probably since I was a little girl. I've always been obsessed with books and like bookends and read-ins and stuff. So when Amy started to get some clarity around her book club idea and this started to formulate, I was like, oh my gosh, like this is, yeah, it's just a really, really exciting thing for me. And it's one of the more, it's like less activity based and more, more spiritual, more cognitive. And it's a lot more like manageable than some of the other activities we do. I really like it. Oh, hi, Julie. Yeah, so Silvio's like, where's the dog? Sil, come here. So I'm really excited that we're all here together. I'm excited that all of you are reading this book, maybe rereading The Untethered Soul for your first or second times. This is obviously a very paradigm shifting and not your average coffee table book at all. So I appreciate your willingness to dive into it as our first book club book. And I have full faith that anybody in the LFP tribe who would join book club or would become a part of book club is open and receptive to new ideas and new concepts and new things like this. So my intention with the book club is to keep it relevant and also keep it really impactful, or as impactful as I can insofar as what in my experience is the leading edge philosophy, psychology, behavioral science, et cetera. I'm going to try to keep it fun. I'm going to try to keep it interesting, of course, but also the books that I'm having you read are to help you change your lives. Like that's the core of it. My core motivator is to equip you with even more tools and information to help you empower your dreams and your hell yes. So we started with Untethered Soul because, as you've all now read, everything stems from our inner world. So Amy put together some awesome questions that we're going to be sharing today. It's going to be a super casual call. It'll be probably like more akin to one of the team calls or one of the LFP calls where we do more sharing than like teaching anything. I'm not going to be teaching anything. We're just going to be asking questions. So hi, Julie. Good to see you. Yay. Awesome. So I think everybody knows everybody. We won't do an intro round just for the sake of time. We might have one of our new members, Jen, join us, and if so, I may have her just say hi and introduce herself a little bit, but we can just go ahead and dive in. So we'll start with just like some warm-up questions insofar as what was your, and I'll post the questions in the chat in a second, but try to think back to before The Untethered Soul, or maybe before LFP, to when you were unaware or maybe didn't have quite a robust understanding of the relationship between thoughts and reality and experience. Reflect back to that time and then take a moment. I'm going to pull up the document while you ladies are reflecting. Take a moment to kind of track your journey from the point of what I refer to as being asleep or sleepwalking or being unconscious, which I think most of us are until we're not. So, but your journey through that exposure period, through the curiosity, and then the questions will be more pointed toward the book itself in a few minutes here. But my first couple of questions are going to be around what was the transition, that initial like opening point transition like for you when you read or came across this stuff and you were like, wait a minute, I'm really curious about that. So take a moment. I'm going to grab our document here. Okay, actually, let me number these. Sorry, ladies, one more second, y'all. Cool. So just to speak to the objective of this call or these calls, the book circle discussions, again, super casual, and there's, as all of you know, there's a lot of growth and insight and a deepening of understanding that can happen when we're in circle with each other, especially around the common theme that we've been practicing or studying together. So there's no like point to this call necessarily. There's not like a destination we're trying to arrive at. It's more about sharing our experience, sharing our curiosity, sharing our curiosity with each other about one another's experiences as well. So in round robin fashion, we'll just go ahead and dive in and do like a circle Q&A here. So I just posted three questions in the chat, and I'll start with one of you, and then you can pick somebody to ask one of the questions, and then that person is like tagged, and then they can pick somebody to ask the next questions. We'll just go around until everybody's had an opportunity to ask and share around these, and then we'll see where we're at, and we'll do another round of different questions. Let's keep our shares to, this is only four. I might chime in a little bit, but I'm mostly here to facilitate. Like two or 3 minutes or so. I think we can kind of stretch into this a bit, given our group size. So, all right. Does that make sense? It's the same thing we do on a lot of the LFP calls with our shares. Okay, cool. Awesome. So Amy, I'll go ahead and tag you, and you can choose somebody to field one of these questions too, and we'll start going around the circle.
I am on a phone, so I can't really see the questions unless I kind of pull them up separately. So okay. give me a second. Do you want me to answer? Are we going to talk about the initial question you just asked, just about our journey from not knowing anything about this to where we are now?
It's kind of covered, encapsulated in these three.
Okay.
The first question is, what was your relationship with your thoughts before reading Untethered Soul?
Okay.
The second question is, did you previously realize that the internal thoughts and voices were on automatic without you knowing? Were you aware of that? And number three is, what was your experience like to consciously realize or notice that the voice is constantly talking?
Okay, so yeah, I just pulled it up, so now I can see them.
Awesome. Yay. Okay,
but
great.
Thank you for reading them to me.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so let me think. So question one, what was your relationship with your thoughts before reading this book? So I didn't get introduced to this book until I met Fawn, which was back in November of 2019. And when I met Fawn, I did tell her that I had I was reading some self-development, self-help books previously, and that's how I kind of found out all about like what a coach is, what a coach can do. But as far as I think my, like the books I was reading, what I was more interested in was kind of getting to a place where I would be able to, create a business or just get out of my dead end. I'm actually going to move inside after I'm done this question because my dogs are crazy right now. So I do apologize for the barking. So I guess my point is I wasn't really reading books on this type of information. So before this book, I just, my thoughts were my thoughts. They were my decision-making tools. They were my, what I thought about myself. I didn't really think too much about where they stemmed from or whether they were correct or incorrect or, good for me or not good for me. They were who I was, I guess. So I guess that pretty much answers number two as well. Did I previously realize that the internal thoughts and voices were on automatic without you knowing? So I guess, to me, they were just, I didn't know any different. So I didn't really question them. I know they weren't always good. I know they brought me down a lot. But I never really thought about questioning them, I guess, or figuring out, why I have the thoughts that I have or the feelings that I have. And then I, you know, when she first introduced me to this book, it was in the very beginning when, so, you know, definitely back in 2019. And I remember I got it on Audible first and I listened to it while I was working, which probably was my first mistake. Because you do really kind of have to be centered and paying attention. And I kind of listened to it and, you know, got it on Audible and I was like, eh, you know, didn't really think too much of it. And then we talked about it more on the calls and people were saying really great things about it. So I actually gave it another shot and I just listened to it again. And again, I was at work because, you know, I work all day. So there really wasn't, you know, I listened to it at work and the second time I listened to it, it was like just something clicked. It was crazy. So maybe it was the fact that I was kind of diving deeper into this with the group of LFP. So I kind of maybe just understood a little bit more, but it definitely made a significant impact on me after reading it or listening to it the second time. And now I do have the actual hard copy and I'm reading it with you guys. And again, it is life changing. Not to say obviously that I don't have negative thoughts and I don't get wrapped up in my thoughts sometimes, but I mean, every time I do, I take a step back and I remember that it's not who I am. So it's, you know, for me, it's an amazing book and it's an eye opener to everything that can be.
Same.
So, yeah.
Hey, so I'm going to change the instructions for the share because I like what just happened. I was inviting us to choose one and go around the circle, but I think all three are really great to reflect on and digest. So let's do all three questions.
Sorry.
It was totally meant to happen. I really appreciate knowing the layers for all of you, and I think it's valuable for each of you to hear each other share. So,
but I'm going to blame my dog because he was barking the whole time, so I couldn't hear your instructions.
And you know what that just reminded me of, too? As soon as the dog started barking, I was like, that is exactly what happens in our minds.
Yes.
The dog is just like our thoughts, and it's distracting, and we have to go sit inside in the quiet.
So funny.
No, that was like perfect. That was meant to happen like that. So we'll go around the circle. Everybody answer each question, but let's again try to keep it to about 3 minutes or so for total share time. Julie, I'll pass the baton to you. So good to see you, by the way. We've missed you.
Oh, thank you. Can you see me like when I do this? Can you still see me?
Yes.
Okay. Because I'm also using my phone, so I like open the chat to see the questions. But yeah, I think I can just speak on this without looking at them, but I'm trying to remember what my experience was with realizing about my thoughts. When I first thought about this question, like when I first started responding in the book club Facebook group, I remembered like going back, I remembered coaching and learning about how much your thoughts can affect your positivity or negativity in your daily life. I think that the first book that I read was You Are a Badass. So, and I'm not sure, I feel like there might be something in there about this that maybe just was like the first like hint of realizing that my thoughts have a lot more control over me than I realized. And then when probably reading this book, I mean, I remember Fawn, you and I talking about, you know, the subject-object concept and not being, if you can observe something, then you are not that thing and like you're not your thoughts. But so it's hard to say, like, I think like little seeds have been dropped all along the way, probably since I started coaching like 2 years ago. And then, but this book just really, I think, opens you up to a new level of awareness. because of all of the examples and illustrations that he gives for you to think about things in a different way. Because sometimes the concepts are a little hard to understand unless you have like something, an illustration like that to help you like download it. And then after that, I started realizing like how much when you realize that you're having a lucid dream. Like there's certain times where my thoughts will really go, like, just go on the run. And one of them is, like, when I'm in the shower. You know, like, times that you don't have, that you're not really thinking about anything else. Maybe your body's on, like, autopilot. But sometimes even in the shower, I'll just be standing there. And then I'll realize, like, I've been standing there just, like, you know, because the hot water feels so good. And they're like, wait a second. And usually it's like, it's not the most positive things. Like I can think about the stuff that I'm upset about, like in that place. And then I realized like, wait a second. And then the other day I had an experience where, cause I'm researching, like going back to school, and there's this master's program that I was reading the, admissions requirements for. And I read them through, and it's a lot. And my first thought was like, I can't do this. And then I was like, wait a second. And right away, like, I caught myself and I was like, no, I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to try. So that was just like last week. So that's been kind of the progression, I guess, for me and not being aware to awareness of my thoughts.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that, Julie. Yeah. Yeah. Who could relate with the shower? Like the shower seems to be this place where we're like, oh, I'm thinking right now. Like it's a little capsule. Yeah, I've actually, on that note, I've actually heard from numerous podcasts and like business books and stuff that entrepreneurs, innovators, ideators, like they credit the shower with being like the place where the ideas come from. And so a lot of people keep like a notepad right there or a writing board in their shower. So anyway. Thank you. Jess, hi. Love to hear your share on this.
All right. So I feel like I have maybe like a different, I don't know if I'm as on board with everybody else about the book sometimes. I've listened to it a couple times. I have some like reservations or some resistance that I'll like talk through. But in terms of my relationship with my thoughts before, like even before reading this, just like before even like working with you, Fawn, or even like trying to go down this road, like I didn't really consider like a relationship with my thoughts. Like my thoughts like were just me. So I didn't have any differentiation there at all until, as I mentioned in the chats in the Facebook group, it wasn't until listening to Alan Watts that I really started to be able to find a different lens to look through to consider this. And I think that really stemmed from, I was feeling really like lost as to like how I fit into the world. Like I don't consider myself to be necessarily like a spiritual person, or I'm definitely not a religious person. And so like I knew that there were aspects of that mentality that was like a gap that I just, it was like a hole that I needed to fill somehow, and I didn't understand like where to find the answers. So it was more for me, it was more like understanding that like the universe is energy and we're all created from energy and I am energy. And so like that's my connection to everything that helped me, that started like helping me like give the foundation for being able to then like define myself as energy versus like everything else. It's just kind of like an extension of that or a product of that. So just to maybe like keep going with the questions before I speak on my reservations. Did I previously realize that the internal thoughts and voices were on automatic without you knowing? I mean, I always knew that, you know, like your mind is always talking in the background, but I didn't really pay so much attention to like how distracting it was or how like consuming it could be. I just kind of like lived in that for sure. And what has my experience been like to consciously realize and notice that the voice is constantly talking? I mean, it definitely has provided a great method of stepping back and reevaluating a situation. And I still struggle. I speak about this a lot, I think, but I still struggle to find that separation in the moment. When things are happening and like I can feel like my thoughts going crazy or my emotions rising or just like I can be a little hot-headed sometimes. And so it's like a little bit, it's more after the fact for me that I can reflect and be like, okay, like, you know, that was a thought. I can change that thought or whatever, like that's a perception and it's not necessarily a truth, and to like reconsider things that way. But I think like where I get like hung up is that, I don't know, sometimes I feel like I slip back into that old mindset of like, how can I not be my thoughts? How can I not be my emotions? It seems really hypocritical that like, how can I find purpose in myself if I have to separate everything from myself? What is the point? And like, what is creation if it's not an extension of yourself? So like thoughts appear out of nowhere, but I created them. That was my creation. So how is that not me? I still struggle with that a lot.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. I love that. I mean, I don't love that you struggle with it, but I love that you're, I love that you are aware of, I mean, your critical thinking is great. I think critical thinking is a very important thing in any regard, whatever we're learning, like, let's try it on. Let's see how it's feeling. Let's see how it's fitting and what comes up and these questions that you're having or have, fantastic. Like, yeah, you're like layers into the onion and you're like exploring around to see if it checks out. Like, does this like make sense? Is this legit? Badass. And I'm right there with you. I've been right there, like, totally. All of this raises so many questions about the nature of existence and identity and purpose and like energy and cosmos. Like it really does. It lifts the lid on so much for us. And I love that you're letting those things come through, Jess, and you're chewing on them and checking them out. I'm not going to speak to that right now because I want to get to Kim, but the great news, and I'm really excited about this, is the next book that we're reading, The Inside Out Revolution, I think will be really helpful for exploring this from a different angle, through a different lens, and understanding and creating your own understanding around it and making sense of things with that. So I'm really excited. That book and then the kind of supplementary resources, I have some videos I'm going to send to you ladies and some other exercises related to it. But sometimes the answers come from within. Oftentimes they do. And sometimes it's a combination of like realizing what does fit, what doesn't fit, trying on different perspectives, and then something clicks or things begin to click in like succession. So I'm totally with you though. Awesome. Ms. Kim,
Okay, so before I started working with you, I would beat myself up a lot about what I was thinking and or feeling. I know that I felt my feelings came before the thoughts. I used to feel like that, that would be the case. And so I was always processing my thoughts, but I did feel like they were me. It was just an automatic thing. I did not know, though. I felt like I thought that I could control it. And so I used to beat myself up because I wasn't controlling it, I guess. So I didn't know that they just came without me. I just felt like I produced them, like my feelings produced the thoughts, I guess. But since then, and I do still really struggle, I am a lot more self-compassionate though now, because I know that I didn't form that it came. And so in trying to find that real inner self, I do have some issue, like Jessica was talking, because I was thinking, well, if I deny that part of me where he starts to talk about just let things happen and you don't have a judgment about it, then I feel like, am I denying my human side or, you know, denying my human experience? So I struggle with that some, because growing up religiously like I did, I feel like I denied that part of myself for such a long time, and to go back into that and hear it again is kind of like cringing for me.
Thank you for sharing, and thanks for speaking to that, the parts that you're still checking out and trying on too, and what's still has yet to feel clearer for your own understanding. Yeah, thank you. Awesome. All right. So I'll speak to this super quickly, and then we'll do some questions that are kind of around like application of this. So I think most of you know, like I've been privy to this stuff for quite a long time. I would say probably 18 years or so. Something like that, and I really started practicing it about 15 years ago, 12, 15 years ago, and then increasingly so since then, definitely in the past 8 years. So I've had a journey with it. Like, I just want to be totally transparent that it wasn't like, oh, I read Eckhart Tolle or Ellen Watts and Michael Singer, and then I was like enlightened and like, I get it, it all made sense. Not at all. It took many, many layers of what I think is like an infinite onion of exploration and study and research to get my bearings around it all. I just want to really clear the air here that it's absolutely wonderful, normal, and great that whatever your experience is around this stuff is what it is. And by no means is there like a right, a wrong, a should or a shouldn't, or anything like that. The understanding and the clarity will come to you, and you will feel it and you will know it, whatever that may be in your own interpretation. And it's a very individual process. So I just want all of you to know that I'm not like over here expecting anybody to do anything or like agree with any of this necessarily or anything like that. It's more for your own personal journey and exploration and to experiment with yourself, with your life, and see what happens with these different tools and modalities, and try it on and see how it goes. So. Okay, so we've got a few. We'll do another round of questions here. Let's see. And then I'm happy to answer or like give feedback or speak to questions toward the end of the call as well. So like Jess and Kim, if you guys want to dig into those inquiries a little bit more, I'm happy to hold space for that. Okay, Amy, do you want to pick you're on your phone. Do you want to pick the next set or the next question?
Okay, sorry.
so much longer on the phone. Did you send them in the chat, the questions?
No, but you have the document. I can post them in the chat if we want to just look at all of them.
Hold on. Yeah, can you do that?
Yep.
Just so I don't have to keep flipping through my phone to the different screens.
No problem. Let's see if it'll grab the numbers.
Okay, and this time, am I just answering one? Is that how we want to do this?
You want to select one? We could do this a couple different ways. You can choose one for everyone to answer, Amy, because I definitely want you to have some co-hosting time here since you're exploring this as a business model. So you can choose one, or you can choose a few for each person to select from. Totally your call. Sorry, let me try to.
Okay, I like it when we do where I guess I'll start and answer one, and then I'll pass it along to someone, and I'll choose one for them to answer, and then they can choose like that. Do we want to do that? And then, if we have time, we can have a couple of different rounds of that.
Cool. Sounds good. So there's one. I'm going to do these one by one.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry.
But you know, you're fine. Thanks for your patience, ladies. Add one more.
Okay, so while you're doing that, I'll just go ahead and pick For starters, I'll go with number 5. So it says, the book refers to your thoughts as your inner voice. How do you recognize the difference between your thoughts that are for your higher good and the thoughts that are not or are self-sabotaging? Do you believe that almost all thoughts are meaningless as the book suggests? So I guess the first part of the question, I guess, if you don't think too deeply about it, obviously, you have thoughts that make you feel good, that uplift you, that are positive, that can be not only good for you, but good for the people around you. There's those thoughts, and then there are the thoughts that are like the gremlins, the ones that are, doubting your worth and making you feel like you're not good enough. I think it's pretty easy to see the difference. But then when he says in the book that almost all thoughts are meaningless, that's where I had the issue. And again, I haven't been studying this or learning about this for that long, so maybe I'm just not really understanding it. But to me, not all thoughts are meaningless. The thoughts that I don't agree with, the thoughts that I know now that I know, the thoughts that now that I know are just negative and just roadblocks in creating the life that I want, not even the life, but just the kind of day that I want. I think they're meaningless, but I think the thoughts that uplift me and the thoughts that figure out ways to get around those roadblocks, I don't think they're meaningless. So I don't really understand that part where he says that almost all thoughts are meaningless. Because to me, that means like 99.9% of thoughts are meaningless. And that's something that I maybe just don't understand or just don't agree with. Because I'm gonna now that I know how, and not all the time, there's days where I'm completely bombarded with one fastball thrown at me after another and I just can't dodge them all. And I get just worn down and I just get negative. But on the days where maybe something like that does happen, but I realize it right away, then I'm going to use
I feel like what I do is use other thoughts to figure out a way around that bad situation. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I do believe that you can recognize the difference between, you know, your thoughts that are for your higher good and then the self-sabotaging thoughts. But then I also don't, you know, I don't think that all thoughts are meaningless, like the book suggests. So I don't know. I hope that made sense. I can't see anyone's facial reactions because I'm just looking at the chat. So I'm going to go to Kim next. And
Kim just hopped off. She said she'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Okay. Then Jessica, I'm going to go with you. And can you answer, can you share with me an example in number 7? Where it says, can you share an example of a time or time when you were closed off, but then were able to suddenly open? Because chapter 5 is all about staying open. And he used that example where, you know, the guy had a girlfriend that dumped him, I guess, and he was all sad and blah, 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 and blah. And then she called and suddenly he was like a burst of energy. So can you think of any other examples, I guess? You know, not necessarily like that, but a time where you were closed and then suddenly open.
I didn't want this one. So sorry, you guys. Yeah, that whole chapter about like keeping your heart open and versus closed. I don't know. Like for me, I can't imagine a space where, like, my heart is just constantly open. That is, like, far, far away. I don't even know what that would be like. But in terms of maybe just, like, recognizing that I am, like, spiraling into some negative space and, yeah, like, like, there will be times when people that I, like, really love or respect or appreciate have a point of view that is, like, really different from mine in a way that will, like, make me angry. And it's really frustrating to, like, know that they think like that. And I will sometimes just, like, ruminate on that for way too long and just, like, let it get to the point where, like, if I were to see them again, like, I would just have, like, this kind of, like, ball of frustration inside, and, like, they'll not even know it, but just, like, my outlook on them has shifted or something, and I hate that. Like, I already know that these people, like, mean a lot to me, and I love them, and I want to, like, hold them in a good space, so just recognizing that, you know, like, I need to let go of that and to just, like, enter a space with them with, like, a clean slate and just, like, take that interaction for what it is and not, like, letting my opinions from prior statements that they probably don't even remember, like, ruin that for us. I don't know. That doesn't really feel like a great example, but.
No, I totally get that. I mean, you realize that you're, like, holding on to so much, like, anger or whatever. And at one point you're probably like, or I don't know about you, but for me, I go through the same thing. And then, you know, for days, and then suddenly I'm just like, why am I doing this to me? Like, it's not having any effect on them. Me being miserable and angry at them. It's just me. It's ruining my day.
Yeah.
But for me, it's not like it's not like 1 minute I'm angry and then the next time I'm like, oh, I'm open again. I'm okay now. Like, it takes days or longer. So it's definitely hard to, for me anyway, again, I'm not speaking for anyone else, but for me, it was really hard to understand that whole stay open, stay open, stay open. I'm not there yet. And we're also all wired differently. And I don't know. I just feel like some people hold on to grudges longer than others. And that's that's the way they're wired, or at least that's how I grew up. Like, oh, people are wired differently. Not everyone holds grudges. Some people do, some people don't. But I guess learning more, no one really has to. They're just all choosing to. I don't know. It's all very new to me, and I'm learning as I go, but I do love it. I love the journey. And just being able to be aware, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that awareness is totally key.
What'd you say, okay.
Jeff? Oh, I was just agreeing with Amy that the awareness is so helpful, so important.
Awesome. Yeah, that was a great example. Thanks for sharing that. And your feedback on that too, Amy. And I'm so excited for the next book.
Yes.
Exactly about all of this stuff. Like, yeah.
It's going to be like,
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. I had my best friend read it over the course of the past 3 weeks. And it's, yeah, it's, I'm excited. Anyways, let's go. Jess, if you want to choose. Really.
Well, I want to get in on the energy conversation, too, before you choose the hello one for me. Because, like, this, I feel like reading that chapter, like, is a total light bulb for me and is, like, a tool that is going to change my life. So I want to tell y'all that, like, simultaneously from – so – coming back home is just like really, it's life changing for me. And something that happens whenever I come back home is that I always get like really connected with like my spirituality. And I tend to focus on it a lot because my family is pretty religious. And so it's like a good influence and like a lot of like, I get a lot of support from the women that I know that I'm in like small groups with, and they're just like a source of like friendship and support. And so it becomes like a big part of my life. So I've been doing a lot of spiritual growth and like simultaneously with like secular self-help and those kinds of readings. And there's a lot of like parallels for me. So a lot of things have been happening where, you know, like these things started happening to me before I read this chapter. So I want to tell you like the things that started happening and then like why I think it's going to change my life, right? So, but I'll try to do it quick. So one of them is that I have like an ex-boyfriend that I'm still in love with, but we're together for like 8 years and it just, but we don't have, I don't think we have the same end goals, and now we're like half a world apart, so I don't even know how that's going to happen again, if it ever will. But we're still like, we got to the point where after our breakup we still talk a lot, and we're like as friends, and we, so, and he's in Colombia now, so because of COVID. So we were talking the other day, and like I don't really talk about it too much, and sometimes I even joke about it, like I'm very open with my feelings about it with him, because we just have been so open about both of our feelings the entire time, and even when we had to break up. So I was saying something about, you know, I think about the memories we have and I don't want it to be over, and his response was like, it's not over, it's just changed now to where we don't fight as much, because it was kind of once we took the pressure off our relationship as a couple, we really did start to fight less. And now we're friends that really enjoy each other and like crack up together all the time. So it's a lot more enjoyable to have that relationship with him. But before, like that answer wouldn't have been enough for me. And I would have felt like I wanted him to say like, oh, I don't want it to be over either, like whatever. And I was just like, yeah. And this is in a chat. And I was like, yeah, smiley face. And I was like, you know, because like right now, that is what being close to him is. And so that I felt was like just keeping my heart open and letting that good energy just stay there. So, and so another way that, you know, like I feel it, that is the, you know, the example we use the book about love, and that's where I saw a big example of it. But I feel that about work as well, because in the beginning of projects, you know, you're always like really excited, and or I'm always like really excited and have a lot of energy. And sometimes it can be hard for me to sustain that. And I didn't really understand what it was that was stopping me. But knowing this about like, or just taking control of my energy, I think can change the way that I look at even projects that I'm doing, and help me stay energized and excited about them for longer if I just don't close that that passion gate or So I think really like I'm really excited to try this out more now that I have read it in this way.
Thanks for that share.
Can I ask her a quick question?
Sure.
Like, do you have to like remember to stay open? Like, do you have to like think to yourself, like, okay, like I can feel myself kind of being not into this like work project anymore? And then what do you do to keep staying open? Like, do you have to consciously think of something? Or
well,
does it
I haven't tried it as much with the work stuff, but I feel like, Jessica, I totally relate to having someone, you know, kind of be, or like to be, I don't know, just have a bad reaction to someone else's like attitude or thoughts or something like that. Like even, you know, in this, the group of women that I was talking about, there was a girl that like, she just got on my nerves all the time. It was like, whatever she said, she was just like, she complained a lot. She was in a job that she didn't like. And I just be like, oh, and I would tell my mom, like, this girl really gets on my nerves, but like we're like a Christian group together. Like I can't be like not liking this girl. But you know, I just kept like, I don't know. I didn't let that mindset be the end. Like I just kept that was just being open. I didn't decide. It's just every time I saw her, it's like, I just, let her make another impression on me, or just, you know, I just didn't say like, I don't like this person. I just let her keep, and it took like 3 times, but I finally come around to this girl. Like she's sweet. She's just different than me, you know? And so like that. And when it happens with the ex-boyfriend, I had to like say, like, I know this before that wouldn't have been enough for me, but I'm going to choose to let it be enough for me this time. So I would say that it probably is a choice. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for that personal share, Julie. Wow. That's a really fucking big deal after an 8-year relationship with somebody and still having feelings for them. Like, that is a major catch that you've did there, like in that moment. Yeah. Wow. That was really powerful for me to witness. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
You want to choose one for Miss Kim?
Oh, yes, Kim. Well, since like we haven't, let's also throw like the energy thing to Kim. Where is it? Okay, so Kim, can you think of an example when you were closed off but suddenly became open? Or what is your experience with your closed and open energy?
Moving from closed to open never happened suddenly for me. I guess. It kind of is usually a work in progress, I guess. Like I gently let go, and then one day I realize I'm open, you know, so it's kind of like that. I don't know, it's I will say recently with my friend, and I know I've had a conversation with the group about my male friend also who moved away, and letting that go has been difficult. And I've had the conversation probably at least 100 times in my eyes, but recently I have to say that I have let go and let my feelings be my feelings be his feelings, and it be okay for me finally. And we actually had a not a conversation, but kind of just a thing where I told him, based on his actions, that I hear you. And his reaction was, SMH, okay. Like, it was all on me. And I let it go. I did not respond back. I did not say, well, what do you mean because you did this? I just let it go. And I realized through the book and a lot of different things that this is, my feelings might be hurt. I may want some explanation, but this is going to have to be enough because I can't, we can't keep having the same conversation, I guess, over and over again. So for me, it was kind of like, I let him know that I see it for what it is and I'm finished. So, which is difficult, and not that I'm just accepting it like, okay, I'm done. Woohoo. This is great. You know, it's been a long time though. So I can actually say that, you know, so I don't feel like I was closed and then open. I feel like I gradually got there through a lot of thinking, a lot of digging deep, a lot of conversation with myself and with him, and I finally got here. I don't feel like it was sudden at all. We're talking years, but I try to be compassionate with myself because it took me that long for us to build a relationship, you know, so I can't just feel like, you know, I'm just gonna let it go that easily.
Thanks, Ms. Kim.
You are welcome. You know how I feel about these things, but yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Super vulnerable. Yeah, and we have, several of us have been along the journey with you as you've been transitioning through that experience and that friendship and everything that's come up around it. And so thanks for sharing that example with us. It sounds like shifting into, like, there was a recognition or realization that the track that you had been trying or, like, kind of repeatedly on wasn't really changing anything or going anywhere, so you kind of stepped off that. In my mind, this is how I saw it for some reason. You, like, yeah. Stepped off that track and checked out what else, like, okay, what else can I do here? How else can I handle this or react to this or respond to this? And
right.
Yeah, shifted into acceptance maybe a bit more.
Yes, a lot more.
Yeah, yeah, sharing. Awesome. So we're at the hour. So I have a wrap question that I would love to do a roundup if we can. If anybody needs to hop off, I can either put you first or you're welcome to hop off if you need to. Totally get it. Whatever, wrap question, and then I'm absolutely here to discuss any of the like the curiosities or the sticking points or the resistance, or maybe even, like, you know, anything at all. I'm here until half hour after, or maybe a little bit more, I could say too, if anybody needed. So let's do, can are you guys available to do a wrap out question? Okay, cool. All right, so through reading this book and perhaps other things that you've encountered or been checking out, there's now this realization that there's some kind of connection going on between our thoughts, our emotions, and our reality. Right? There's some kind of, something's connected there. There's some kind of a causal situation happening, or maybe even a simultaneity of things. At least that's what I heard in everybody's share, is like there's some level of experience around that. So I invite all of you to continue tuning into your awareness, continue tuning into where your thoughts come from, just noticing like, where the fuck, right? Like, am I creating my thoughts? Or are they just popping out of nowhere? If and when I do create them, are they aligned with what I would actually choose to create? Or are they like not what I would like? So I know this stuff is like, it's laborious sometimes. Like sometimes it's fucking exhausting to like be so aware of our thinking. And sometimes it can be frustrating because we don't want to be on the gremlin track. We want to be on the ally track. But I can almost guarantee you that the more you inquire and the more you pay attention and just notice what's happening and like what triggers what and what's going on in there, kind of akin to mindfulness meditation, the more understanding you're going to have of your own internal mechanisms. And the next book that we're reading is, like I said, we're going to learn some really cool stuff around this and definitely explore. But to wrap out this book and these themes so far, I would love to know, or I'd love for you to reflect for a moment and then share an area of your life. It can be related to your thinking, it can be related to yourself, it can be related to something else, like your job or your partner or your relationship with cookies. But reflect, and let's choose something that's really meaningful. Like I wanna start applying these tools in like a super meaningful way. So think of something meaningful to you in your life that you're finding yourself frustrated with, or just wishing were different, or wanting to change, or seems to keep happening and bringing you down, draining your energy, causing some like low points. So take a moment to reflect on that, and then I would love for us to share in a round of how can we explore the connection between whatever that thing is for us and what we've learned so far about the connection between thought, emotion, and reality or experience. So what's a big thing that you'd like to shift, and what might make a difference in creating that shift, or maybe just like pushing it a little bit more, creating a little bit of a shift when it comes to your inner world and your emotions. So does that make sense? And like a two-parter? Okay, cool. All right. Does anyone want to volunteer to go first? Otherwise, I'll just fluff you out. Amy, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, so I think anyone that's been on any calls with me knows what my problem is as far as my big, where I'm having the most difficulty. And that's a combination of just gaining clarity in general about what direction I want to go as far as a business. And then I guess just my current job that I have in general. I have a really negative, really negative feeling about it. And I don't want to, because I've also read books on being happy in the moment, being happy with, being happy in the now, in the present, while you're working towards the future that you want. And that's, I'm having a really hard time being happy in my job, because it's not something I've always wanted to do. It's very non-creative.
and I feel like I'm a creative person and I need more of that in my life. So I try to do creative things on the side. But I want, even though I'm not living my hell yes life at the moment, I still want to be able to wake up and just be like, hell yes, I'm going to do the best that I can at my current job. I have friends there. You know, I get along with everyone. I have a great work ethic. They appreciate me. I just need to really get into it again. Because when I first got hired there, I loved it. Even though it's, you know, wasn't something I've always wanted to do, I was just in a much better mind frame, I guess, for whatever reason. And I think being home and this whole COVID thing might have a lot to do with it. Even though, you know, working from home I enjoy, it's still, you know, because it's loosening up now, but because I'm home working and I'm home every other hour of the day too. Like I'm just home. So I think that was kind of getting under my skin and making me kind of, you know, where I think almost everyone maybe kind of went through that, just cabin fever and just, you know, going through just not being able to get out of the house. So, I mean, the job and clarity are my two things. And I just feel like now I can kind of see my thoughts around it and change them for the better. You know, when I start to feel myself getting agitated with work or just fed up or just depressed about it, then I am taking a step back and I'm thankful that I have a job. I'm thankful that I have a home. That I bought. I'm thankful that I have three healthy kids. Like I'm just, gratitude right now is huge for me. And I think that changes your whole mindset. So, but yeah, clarity, waiting for clarity.
Thanks for that share. So my question for you, I'm going to go around the circle. And if you want to hang, Amy, I'd love to hear what comes up for you around this follow-up question for you. Follow-up question is, what is getting in the way of you having what you've just said that you want? Not the clarity and not the not job, but having, waking up, even though it's not your hell yes life yet, being able to wake up and feeling hell yes about the life. So my question is, what is getting in the way of that? And I'll let you noodle on that while I go around.
Okay.
Cool. Awesome. All right. Jessica.
Okay, so I've talked on this before as well. One of my reoccurring themes that is like damaging across many levels is just my automatic assumption of like negative judgment from other people, or anytime that I enter into any sort of interaction with someone that, even if I am like super, super comfortable with them, like it can affect like my partnership as well with someone that I like trust to the nth degree. I don't know. There's always like my initial reaction to everything always, or assumption or presumption, even before entering a situation, is often that it's either that like I'm not enough, or I don't know, that there's something about me that just like isn't right, or that will be viewed negatively, and it holds me back from doing things I really need to do, like networking and making new friends and like, you know, just so many things. And then it also can cause like a lot of tension in like relationships that really mean a lot to me. So, yeah.
Thank you. And what's the relationship, or what might be a connection between what we're talking about here, what you've been learning in Untethered and other areas, a connection and maybe something that you can explore or play with a little bit more, or?
Yeah, I mean, just having an awareness that these
thoughts are coming up, and even knowing that they are going to come up and trying to get ahead of them, I don't do it often enough, but the times that I, like, if I know that we're, it seems like a lifetime ago, but if I know that we're, like, hosting people to come over or something, and I'm going to be, you know, hosting and wanting to be, like, in a good mindset and positive and welcoming and friendly, then if I take, like, a half hour beforehand and talk myself through, like, positive thinking and, like, even, like, to the point of, like, writing out things that people appreciate about me so that when I'm, like, in that space, like, that is more top of mind than just the usual synapses of negativity, then that does help a lot. So just the awareness that those thoughts exist, come up recurringly, and that I need to manage them is helpful.
Yeah. Good for you. That's amazing that you're able to exercise that awareness and at times kind of get ahead of it, like you said, and prepare yourself in positive ways for when it pops up. You've kind of done your inner positivity work or your inner detachment work to be able to experience those scenarios without as much weight, maybe, or anxiety. Yeah, good for you. So a follow-up question I have for you, Jess, and you're welcome to share this in the group chat or disregard it. You can do whatever you want with it. But a follow-up question that that I have that I invite you to explore is the meaning that's being made. So the thought pops in, if I'm understanding. Thought pops in, I'm not enough, or I'm not good enough, or this person's going to, like, they're not going to like me, or they don't like me, or they think I'm ridiculous, or the things that are chattering away, right? They pop in automatically. And there's a noticing of them, which is awesome, and an awareness that you can go in a lot of different directions from there. I would just invite you to look under the hood or maybe peel back another layer around what does that mean if other people don't like you? What does it mean if you're not enough? What does it mean, because the thought itself holds no weight. The thought itself is just a thought, like, oh, I'm not enough is a thought. It's the story and the emotional weight that we wrap around that then creates our experience of reality. So maybe doing like a mind map or something around the meanings that are attached to the thought. Does that make sense? And I'm just getting kind of layery.
Yeah, it makes sense. I don't have a good sense of like how I would answer that yet, but I think I understand what you're trying to, the angle that you're trying to get me to consider.
Yeah, let me know if you have any follow-up questions to that. Because the thought, it's great to be aware of our thoughts, but our thoughts are just things, it's the stories we have. And when we can look under the hood, explore the meaning, maybe even explore where does this meaning come from? Is this like Byron Katie, obviously, is it true, right? But why is there such like an attachment to this meaning that we have around this thought, right? Like, and we all have it. Certainly. So noticing the thought is layer one, checking into the story and the meaning can be just super insightful, you know, and interesting. Like, oh, huh, that's because this or that. Let's see. I'll go to Julie.
Hey. All right. The thing that I'm struggling with is that, so I like consider that I have a great work ethic and that I've always done really well in all the jobs that I've had. But there was a time when I moved to New York and I was writing and I got laid off from a job, and I had like the opportunity to either, you know, support myself on a freelance writer's business or get another job. And I kind of, and I went to New York to write, and I just got like scared. I didn't think I could do it. I didn't feel like I had enough discipline. And so I just went and got a job, and it like derailed my life for like 5 years that led me to like a super miserable place and being like, I need help. And that's when I reached out to Fawn. So what I want to be able to do is have, like, so now I'm working on my own again and doing my freelance writing business and from home. And I get really distracted working from home. So I just want to, like, level up that part of my life where I can, like, you know, where I feel like I'm on track to, like, being, you know, accomplishing awesome things and like success, but being like my own boss. So because I feel like that's where my motivation came from before, is having somebody else to please and having someone else's goals to meet. But I also realized that I didn't always want to work on someone else's goals. I wanted to work on my goals. So where that's like one thing, like where I felt like I can apply that like open heart energy to my work situation. And because, you know, my big question in like other groups that we've talked about is like, how do you make yourself show up? And it's because sometimes like my bedroom is right next to where I'm sitting in the office. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I can, you know, do it later. Like, I don't know. I get distracted by my emails when I need to be like writing. And so that's where I'm finding like the disconnect of like showing up and having that. So I really want to try to harness that energy of like having a new project and the success and the whole energy chapter. Fawn, it reminded me of what you shared yesterday on the coming from the goal instead of working towards the goal. So like using that energy of the feeling of accomplishment, the feeling of your goal to power you through the journey to get there. So that's how I feel like I'm going to be able to use this. And I think going back to the thoughts being meaningless or not, I don't really agree with that too, because I think the positive thoughts are really impactful for us. So, so I'm going to keep using like positive thoughts and affirmations and then try to experience this energy flow in a different way that keeps me motivated for work and working for myself. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, love that. Definitely. I was just remembering, Julie, a couple of years ago, you came up with some amazing visualizations, if I'm not mistaken, about like your future self, kind of like the, that would be something, if you haven't already, like circle back to that and tune into.
Yes. I love doing that, and I have started doing that already, like journaling about what my day is like, and even like where, you know, if I'm like, I'm still kind of also, well, anyway, even like where my office is and what my office looks like, or, you know, what I wear every day. So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I love that. And the Thursday's call this week is actually going to be, we're just going to be doing that the whole time for a workshop. So
yeah.
Come join.
I will.
So, and I just want to clarify something real quick. We'll go to you, Kim. So kind of like what I was just unpacking with Jessica, because it sounds like there's, you ladies, some of you are exploring like thoughts having meaning versus thoughts being meaningless and like, what the heck is he talking about? So the actual sentence or however we experience the thought itself is, it's a synaptic firing that we place meaning into, right? So if I'm trying to lose weight and I step on the scale and I see that I'm 10 pounds lighter than I was 2 weeks ago, thought's going to be like 10 pounds lighter. And then the meaning is, that's great. Like, hell yeah, that's amazing. But if I'm trying to gain weight, right, if I'm trying to bulk up or I'm trying to, like, get some muscle in my bones so I can do some athletics, then if I step on the scale and it's 10 pounds lighter, I'm going to have a different story, a different meaning to the same exact thing. So it's not that thoughts are inherently meaningless, and we place meaning to them. And thank goodness, because that's why affirmations and visualizations and pivoting to the positive and all of these things are so effective, because where our focus goes, our energy flows, and where our energy flows is where we begin to build new neural patterns, and we also begin to orient ourselves in a more automatic way toward that state of mind and that state of being. So without going into it too much, I just wanted to add that, because I don't know, hopefully that was helpful. all right, Ms. Kim, I'm going to hand the mic to you.
That was actually helpful. Thank you.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
What was helpful about it?
Because I think when he says that my thoughts are meaningless, I felt like he was saying they don't mean, you know, they literally don't mean anything. Like, it's just, I don't know, almost like a, like you were just supposed to deny that they existed, whether they were good or bad, kind of like that. And so now I feel like, okay, no, he's just saying thoughts are thoughts, and we put a judgment to in our evaluation that it's good or it's bad. And in some circumstances, what we think is good might be bad, and what's bad could be good. But it's the way we're interpreting them that could be incorrect, not the thoughts themselves. Right? I hope I'm not confused.
Yeah, that was awesome. Okay. Distinction. Yeah. And there's no incorrect or correct either. And that's a whole conversation in and of itself. But it's not about incorrect or right or wrong, or it's about what is contributing to our thriving and our well-being, and what's getting in the way. What's sabotaging us and what's supporting us.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Okay. So it's not that I deny my humanness. It's I choose the one that's going to be best for not just me humanly, but also deep within me, like all parts of me.
What's in alignment with thriving is how I, that's the lens that I like to, or the vocabulary I like to use around it. But yeah, like it's not, our thoughts are going to happen. Our thoughts are not the enemy necessarily. Mm-hmm. We are human. We're going to have thoughts. We're going to be on a roller coaster for the rest of our lives. Like that's what we signed up for, whether we signed up for it or not, who knows. But that's the ride that we're on right now, is we're going to have things come out of nowhere. We're going to have this human experience, and so it's not bad if we go, like, if we're having a funky day or if we're in a bit of a, like, spiral or something. It's not a bad thing. It just means we're human, and the great thing about all of this thought work is that we can be in that space while also knowing that it's just a story. It's just a thought, like, and everything's gonna, you know, and it's okay, and we're gonna move through it, so... sorry, Kim. I'm going to put myself on mute. I'd love to hear something that you're, that you'd like to implement this stuff with, something in your life.
Okay. I have two.
Ah, I muted Kim.
Okay. I have two things, but I'm going to make them really short because Jessica reminded me of something that I struggle with too. And I shared it at the retreat. But my one that's fairly recent is my health. I had a couple of, you know, sudden things to occur. And I had a conversation with my mom the other day, and it enlightened how I was thinking about it, is that I'm very used to having something happen and I take medicine and it's done. But I haven't had something that I have to work on, like, every day. Like, there'll be medication, there'll be. And so any little off feeling that I have, I'll get anxious about it and I'll be afraid. And I think, and I'll be honest, some of it has to do with my friends passing away because the doctors didn't catch it. And so I feel like, oh, they, you know, it might be something that they didn't catch. I need you to know exactly how I'm feeling, this, this, that, because I want you to know, because I don't want that to happen to me. And it has paralyzed me a lot. And, but I'm realizing it, and I feel like in realizing it, I can get over it, but it is scary for me. Every day, something scares me. And even just now, when I started talking about it, I could feel the anxiety just rumbling in my chest, which is how come I realize some of it is my thinking. So that's the main one for me right now. That might be enough. That one might be enough. So I am really trying to feel into my body to see what is actually bothering me and then what part of me is just fearful. Yeah.
I love you, Kim.
I love you guys too. Thank you, because I don't ever get to have these conversations besides with my mom. So thank you guys.
Yeah. I wish we could all just pop through here and give you a big old hug. It's a lot to be navigating right now. Yeah. Like you said, when it comes to the physical, there's this feeling of like powerlessness about it. And that can be really scary.
Yes.
Yeah. And it makes sense that, you know, your friend's passing and then not catching it. Like your survival system is trying to take care of you by keeping you alert to, ooh, I feel something, I need to go to the doctor. Like you're in a, this might sound weird, but that's a good sign that your system is working.
Yeah.
In a way, but hypervigilance, right? So I sent you the information about the window of safety. And when we're in the hypervigilant, that's when our thoughts are usually amplifying the initial alert system.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I appreciate that you're going through this. You're like in this and you're also doing your best to have awareness around it. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
So it sounds like the mindfulness or being aware, catching when the thoughts are connected to the physical, like is that, that's what you're wanting to do more of?
Right. Because a couple of things, and it, right now I'm kind of still in the beginning stages. They're trying different things, testing me, giving me medication. So a couple of things happened to me while I was driving. So now I'm not getting in a car. I'm not driving myself anywhere. I'm getting in a car. I'm just not driving myself anywhere because I feel like I don't want it to happen again. Because when it did happen, and it might be linked to vertigo. So if it happens again, I don't want to be somewhere where either it's, you know, accident causing or somebody has to come get me. You know, I don't want it to get to there because I had one thing where someone had to come get me and another where I just was able to pull off to the side and somebody else took over driving. So I am taking vertigo medicine right now. So that might be the thing that caused those two incidences. Or, you know, it could be my blood pressure. We're not sure what, you know, caused that. So, and then, you know, from a friend who is a psychologist, she said some of it could also be just your anxiety or a panic. So, you know, right now I don't know because I've just started taking most of those. They haven't been over 2 months yet, so I don't know yet. And so I get in a car, but I don't drive yet. Or I'll drive with someone in the car with me. Yeah.
Mm. Let's all beam our love to Kim right now, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks for sharing all of that. And please let us know if there's ever anything, you know, if you just want to talk to anybody, or, you know, you've got a whole sisterhood around you, but yeah.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Yeah. All right. So my invitation for everybody is to play with this for the next 24 hours. We'll play with this forever, but for the next, or maybe till the end of the weekend, because we're like almost through Saturday. So consciously, maybe write, have a couple alerts on your phone or a couple sticky notes around the thing that you just mentioned and brought to the table, that kind of the thorn in the paw, and play with what shifting your thinking or shining the flashlight of awareness or creating a state change. So like a funny video or someone you can text or a song. I know I've said this a million times, but believe it or not, it is possible to go from one state to the next really quickly. But what's paradoxical is that when we become aware of our thinking and it being like awry, then we're like, okay, I'm aware now. I see all the gremlins rolling through town. That's totally great. And they will pass and we will have a new thought or we will feel better soon. But also it can be helpful to be like, oh, yep, I see this happening. I'm going to go put on my Madonna CD, or I'm going to look at the photos from, you know, my birthday last year or whatever, and have something to shift that focus so that the energy can also focus. And it can be related to the thing, like an affirmation or visualization, or it can be something totally random. Sometimes it's helpful to just go outside and like breathe the air and look at nature or do 5 gratitudes or something like that too. So. But let's run an experiment around intention for the rest of the weekend, and then I'll invite you to share your experience with that if anything shifted or anything new happened in the book club Facebook group. All right, so next book is Inside Out Revolution by Michael Neal. This, what we're about to dive into, we're going to take our time with it because it's one of those that you read, like, in my experience at least, and other people who've read it, like, you read a page or two or, like, a sentence, and it's like, what? So we're going to pace ourselves and probably do chapter by chapter. It's a short book, thankfully. And we'll start that on Monday. We'll have chapter one read by next Sunday. And if anybody needs the book or would like a copy, I'm happy to gift it to you, so just let me know. And we're entering into some terrain that will deepen your understanding, widen your understanding, give you some new perspectives to check out and try on. There's nothing religious about this. There's nothing rigid about it. There's nothing like, you know, it's all totally just information for you to try on and explore. So we're heading in that direction. And the reason I'm so excited about it is because, as I mentioned, I've been privy to a lot of this stuff for a very, very, very long time. And I have found elements that I'm like, oh, yay, it's like Untethered Soul, first four chapters, chapter 5 is kind of, for me too, it's a little, but it's mind-blowing for other people, which is great. But I have this like toolbox with like partial things in it that I've been trying to put together with, you know, my clients and LFT. And then I discovered the three principles in Michael Neal a couple months ago. And I was like, holy fuck. Yes, this ties everything together. So that's where we're headed. And I'm here to answer any questions or do any exploring if anybody wants to hang for a little bit. But otherwise, thanks for being here, ladies. Yay, book club.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Amy. Thanks for helping put this together. Appreciate it. Does anybody want to stay and chat questions, or are we feeling, ooh, Julie.
I put on the glam. I know. I'm getting ready for dinner. And now I got to dry my hair. But no, this is really awesome, and I'm really excited to keep reading and discussing and all that stuff. And I might say, listen.
I like the progression that I'm seeing. That was just really cute. All right. Who's hopping off? Raise your hand or say, I'm hopping off. Okay.
I got to get going. Sorry.
Okay. No, thanks so much for staying, Jess. I will address your question or what you had spoken to. I'm excited to dive into that stuff with you, or maybe I'll post a video about it in the book club. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye, thanks. Jess.
Bye. Good to see everyone.
Great
seeing you. And Amy, do you guys have questions? Want to topical on anything?
One of the reasons why I know that, so, like, I'll have really good days, but I can tell in the back of my mind I'm waiting for something to happen. Or, like, yesterday I had a day where I felt a little off. And I laid down, and then I felt okay. I got back up. I went, I got out of the house with my friend, and this has happened maybe two or three times, and my mind isn't on it, and my body is having a good day, and so I am fine. You know, I feel really good. But then there's times where I'm fine, but because I'm in the house, my mind is on it. And I'm just thinking and thinking and thinking. And I can feel, I think now I'm starting to be able to feel the difference between the anxiety part of it and the there's something wrong, you know. So I don't know if that was a question or just a statement, but I want to be able to, that when I'm home, I can do the same thing that happens when I'm away. And so I was listening to the video series that you sent me right before. Well, I started it earlier today, like maybe around 12, and I've been watching them, and it makes so much sense, especially when she was talking about that bull coming up, you know, and how you have, and even what they were saying, that you can have, everybody is, oh, the plane conversation with the lady, that there were a ton of people on the plane and everybody had a different feeling about what was going to happen, and that you don't know what's going to happen. You don't. You know, and so that really resonated with me. And I was like, that's true. I don't know what's going to happen. And I can choose to live afraid of, have they missed something? Did I tell them everything? It, you know, or I could just live every day. And I mean, and that is truly what I was doing before. And I don't know if with COVID, I've just had way too much time to think or not think, you know, I don't know, but I want to snap out of it. I feel like I need to snap out of it because I do believe the sum of it is my body, but I know when those moments are, and I think the rest of it, I just spend trying to control it not happening again, you know.
Yeah. Beautiful awareness. Wow.
Yeah, it's just not making the feeling go away.
Yeah.
Right.
But you're right there, like these areas that you're, the awareness and the noticings that you're having and the connection between focusing on what you can't control and the trigger of anxiety versus being in surrender, being in acceptance of like, I can, this is what I can do. I can tell the doctors everything I, but I can't control the future. I can't control a diagnosis. I can't, you know, like really checking in with that. You're, I love how much consciousness you're bringing into this. And
yeah.
And this, so perfectly timed. And Amy and Julie, the video series Kim's talking about, I'm going to post in the book club because it's related to the Inside Out Revolution. It's a video series of animations and then explanations of the modality that Inside Out is about. And it just makes it, they explain it in a really fun way from like a bunch of different angles to help us like connect the concepts and understand what they're talking about. And there's like 12, I think it's 12 video series or something like that. So we'll be watching those kind of in tandem with reading the book. And Kim, have you read, I can't remember if I've recommended this to you, the book, How to Stop Worrying and Start Living?
No.
Okay. That book is fucking great.
Okay.
It's really practical. That's why I'm like, it's, you can like read it and there's like the first chapter itself has like one thing that changed, was helpful for me, which is to live in day tight containers, they called it. Which means like, do not try to live beyond today. Yes, dream and plan and stuff, but when it comes to worrying or when it comes to concerns or when it comes to thinking about, oh my God, what might happen, blah, blah, blah. Stay in, I have a sticky note still in my refrigerator from 2.5 years ago that says today, because that helps me to stay here and like not worry about COVID or the apocalypse. Right. That might be a really good practical handbook for you right now, actually. So,
what is it called again?
How to Stop Worrying and Start Living. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Julie, Amy, do you guys have questions or shares that want to chat about?
I don't have any questions. You had asked what was holding me back. I didn't know if you wanted me to respond here or just on the Facebook group or something like that.
If you've got a few minutes, yeah, I'd love to hear it. Thank you.
So there's quite a few things, I think, holding me back.
Okay.
And yes, Kim, I do blame COVID for some of it.
Right.
I just think we're in a very weird, odd time, and it's just a lot getting used to. I don't know. It's frustrating sometimes. But definitely for me, it's definitely my confidence or lack thereof, I think, that's holding me back. Even when it comes to just waking up in a positive, you know, I have a journal that I do every morning and it actually asks like, how are you feeling like at this moment? And it's like, you know, excellent, meh, fine, you know. And I look back in the book and there were like times where it was like excellent every single morning, like felt great. And now more recently it's been like either fine or meh, you know, like. And I can't pinpoint exactly why, but I know my self-confidence is kind of low. And I think that revolves around just confidence in a lot of things. Confidence in just confidence around everything. Not everything, but confidence around, you know, the job thing, the clarity, confidence around just being a mom, confidence around, I don't know,
I guess pressure, you know, another thing is just pressure not to screw up, not to not only not screw up my life, but not screw up my kids' life and not. So just pressure that is taking its toll on me for some reason lately. And just a feeling of being worn out and tired. And I feel like I'm not getting anywhere. Like I'm just going in circles and it's getting frustrating. And I even hate saying it. Like it makes me choke up because that's not how I want to be. So they're definitely, you know, the top things that I feel are just making me wake up in a not so positive, positive way. So.
Thank you for reflecting on that so deeply. So there's a lack of confidence or a story or feeling around a lack of confidence, a story around better not screw up, don't screw up, and then like a fatigue, kind of like a general feeling worn out.
Yeah, like not like tired, like snoring tired, but just tired of not going anywhere, tired of feeling like maybe I'm taking one step forward, but then like five steps back. And I'm in a really bad, like, and you know, a little bit, just, I feel like I'm getting curveballs thrown at me lately. And I'm just not able to dodge all of them. Like, so they're hitting me smack in the face and just taking its toll. I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Your homework is to reflect and explore and unpack what does confidence mean to you? What does confidence mean to you? How do you know when you are or are not confident? And why is it so important? Does it have to be so important? And the pressure not to screw up. So that's kind of like the like a perfectionism gremlin.
I guess so. And I don't know if it revolves around more me or the fact that I have, you know, am I using my kids as an excuse? Like, if I screw up my life, then I obviously screw up my kids' life. You know, by making a wrong business choice or by...
Yeah, wanting to make, it sounds like you have a desire to make decisions that have a high probability of having a positive impact for yourself and your kids.
Like, right.
That's the desire. And because there's not, right. There's not a certainty around that.
Right.
It's like, ooh.
Right. And that's always been the case with me. It's like, I want someone to just come down from the skies and lay a golden path for me to follow. That's how it's always been for me.
Even if they did, even if that happened, even if you woke up tomorrow and there's this golden path and you're like, oh, where'd that come from? You're looking around, no one's there, but there it is. How would that be any different? Like, what would be any different for you?
I mean, in a joking way, I would be like, oh my God, look what I just manifested. My golden path.
Okay. And then what would be different? What would change?
Oh, I don't know. Nothing. I would probably go halfway up the path and then, oh my God, am I going the right way? Oh my God. I don't know. I just know that I need to, you know, I'm finding a lot of excuses. Like I'm doing the work that we talked about on our call and
it's definitely helping me, but you know, I feel like I have so many gremlins all the time, popping out of nowhere all the time, and a lot of it right now is like me making excuses. You know, and I have 3 kids. I am a single mom. I don't have a lot, you know, I don't have financial stability. I don't have a significant other that can help me. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Lots of excuses. And it's annoying. It's annoying me because I know they're just roadblocks, which is, you know, better than me a year ago when I just didn't recognize what they were. But
fucking A, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and they're trying to keep you in your comfort zone. We're biologically built to keep ourselves safe. And all that resistance is just kicking up because it's like, oh my God, like what if you try this thing and you lose all your money and like you're poor and starving on the street and your kids go to orphanages, like the whole freaking thing comes crashing down, right? And it's like, ooh, I better stay safe, see? Like, look what could happen. I better not do anything.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
All of that.
You know, trying to keep you safe. And so what we get to do as conscious humans, adults, is we get to be like, I totally see you, survival mechanism. Thank you so much for bringing to my awareness the things that I can take into consideration and be aware of. Thank you. And I'm going to handle whatever happens. Like, or we're going to make it or we're not. You know, like, it's going to be okay. Even if it's not, like, ideal, it's going to be okay. So, but I'm hearing that those things, like these excuses, as you call them, are really holding you in this comfort zone, almost like giving you justification to stay stuck, maybe.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'll find myself saying, and I probably have said, I mean, I'm sure you've heard it. I feel like I'm talking in circles, like, not everyone's meant to be an entrepreneur. If that was the case, everyone would be an entrepreneur. Maybe I'm just meant to be here in this place to learn how to be aware of my thoughts. Maybe that's how I'm going to grow, just in that way. Like, you know, like I've said it to you before. I feel like I am repeating myself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's annoying. But that is how I feel sometimes. Like, yeah, again, just excuses. And not that that wouldn't be a great thing. And then I say that too. Like, I have already learned so much about myself, my thoughts, practices that I will take with me, you know, into very, very, very old age. Like, I'm so grateful for all of it. But I feel like I don't want that to be the end. Like, there is something, and I just can't wrap my head around it.
So there's some stuff around self-trust, and I'm going to kind of call out something that might feel uncomfortable, but a willingness to be vulnerable, a willingness to actually do something that is so vulnerable and uncertain and make a decision to choose vulnerability, which ultimately means a decision to choose courage over comfort.
I love the word courage right now. It is everywhere for me.
Ooh, awesome.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, great. So yeah, because I think my take on this, and please try this on, is that confidence is fucking overrated. Confidence isn't something that we like wake up and it's like, oh, I feel confident now. I'm going to go do the thing now that I feel confident. If we wait until we're confident to do the thing, we're never going to do anything. Like, that's sure as shit. I mean, I've seen that happen so many times. It's great to feel prepared. If we need to be prepared, like, don't go, you know, I mean, do whatever you want, but don't go try out for American Idol if you haven't rehearsed or anything, you know. But this like emphasis on confidence, we're like inundated from the outside world that like we're supposed to like be prepared and confident to do the thing, and it's the opposite. It's actually, I think confidence is a bust, and I think courage is actually where we should, where we get to focus is like, oh man, if I'm feeling stretchy, if I'm feeling vulnerable, if I'm feeling like, oh man, good, because that means that I get to be in a state of courage instead of confidence. Confidence, oh great, feeling confident is like, what's then? You know, courage is like.
Well, and then is confidence more like the after thought, like do the thing, and then you gain confidence? Instead of be confident, then do the thing?
I mean, I think confidence is a story we tell ourselves about how well we're performing by our own standards. So if our standards are to get it perfect and we don't, then, and if confidence is hinged to that, then we're not going to feel confident. But if we, like, I never feel confident. I'm, like, willing to not feel confident, and that's okay with me. I think we generate the story of confidence more than it's actually a real thing, if that makes sense. Yeah, like, it doesn't matter. Confidence doesn't matter. It's something that's, like, it's a vanity metric, almost. And I hear this, I'm not just saying this from my own experience or opinion either, like this is, I've listened to so many high performer like stories, athlete, I mean, so many things are coming to mind right now, just in the groups I've been in recently, these people who do fucking amazing things, and they're like, yeah, I was like so anxious before getting on stage that I'm almost passed out, like stories like that where people are, you know, sharing how they're doing the most challenging, scary things ever. They feel terrified. They're not feeling confident, and they go for it. So I think some maybe like mindset or prioritization shift around that can be pretty game changing.
Okay.
Because I think the confidence piece and the perfectionism piece are dancing really closely together. Like, I need to do this right so I can feel confident enough to do it, right? Or something. Like, I need to be. Yeah. And if we can embrace imperfection, if we can embrace vulnerability and courage and a willingness to do our best and see what happens, then the world is our oyster. But there's no conditions on it.
Makes sense. Oh, and I'm sorry about all the not having the questions up and all that on my phone. I had no idea what the heck to do.
No, we're totally fine. I'm just taking a pause to think about the last piece there, like tired of not going anywhere. So that's a story, not a feeling. That's a thought, not a feeling. Like, I'm tired of not going anywhere. It's a story that you're not going anywhere. And then there's some meaning being placed around what it means if you're actually not going anywhere. So I just wanted to kind of pull that apart a bit.
Yeah.
What if it's totally okay that you're not going anywhere and you're not meant to until you do? Right? Totally different.
Eye opening. I love it.
And also on the other side of that coin, yeah, on the other side of that coin is it's impossible for you to not go anywhere. Physically, in the realm of physics, time, space, and matter, it is impossible for you to not go anywhere.
So true. True, true.
Have I told you as we wrap out here, have I told you the parable or the, actually not a parable, it's an analogy that's real, about the bamboo, the growth cycle of Chinese bamboo?
No.
Okay. Sometimes I remember this and it's very helpful. So there's a type of bamboo in China, so I've been told by a few mentors, that grows 1 inch a year, and that 1 inch it grows through rainy season very slowly. for the first 2 years of its life cycle. So it's only 2 inches tall at the end of the second year. And then in the third year, it grows 25 feet. 25 feet in the third year. Because something happens in its ability to integrate the nutrition in its cells, in its genetic makeup, something happens that says, okay, let's go. Now let's shoot up from the ground. Like, we've got what we need here. And I love that, because sometimes it can feel like we're just inching our way forward and like peeling back the layers or wading through the muck, and that it's going to stay at this speed forever, right? Sometimes it feels like, I'm never going to get anywhere. But what's really happening a lot of the time is that we're putting in the seed, we're putting the water on the seed, we're making sure the soil has the nutrients, and we're growing a little bit. And then pretty soon, and I've seen it happen with my own eyes dozens of times now and with my own life, where all of a sudden something shifts and we're like, woo! So, yeah.
That's exciting to think about. It's awesome.
So maybe you're in rainy season number 2.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, that's great.
Thanks for being open to my feedback, Ames.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Now that we're an hour over time, let's just take the way around.
So fun.
For one, the support of you guys, I'm so grateful. For the space to be able to share, of course, the things that are so present, like right up to date with how we're all dealing with things, but I know I appreciate it to be able to share here. And just remembering that it's not that my thoughts are meaningless. It's just the value that I, or the judgment or whatever that I put on them. So that was a big help.
Thanks for letting us be here for you also. Thanks for sharing and letting us support you and love you and send you healing energy.
Thank you.
What's your takeaway or takeaways?
Pretty much what Kim said. I mean, I totally miss our call, so I'm so glad we get to do this now as another way to just kind of interact and discuss and talk about. I loved how when we had like the kind of open chat, I thought that was awesome, where we were just kind of chiming in. I mean, I think sometimes it gets tough when we talk over each other because we all have our mutes off. But I thought that was really fun, and I thought it was a great discussion when that happened, where everyone was talking about opening and closing and all that. I also agree with Kim on just the whole, you know, that was probably the one sentence in the book that I've read so far that I was like, what? Like, the thoughts are completely meaningless? I don't get it. Like, obviously, if they're good thoughts, they're not meaningless. So the way you spoke on that helped me to definitely better understand and get a better grasp on that. So yeah, it was awesome. I loved it.
Good. Yay.
I'm excited for the next book too. I already read chapter 1 because I'm a brown noser.
What a good episode. I was going to order it right after we get off of here.
Yay. Cool. All right. Don't skip ahead. Stay on chapter 1. Reread.
I will. I'm going to reread. You know me. I'm going to reread it.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. Let's take this one in bites. It's tempting. Like, trust, I'm on my third round of this book in like a month. I'm so excited to see what lands or comes up or what, like, questions this whole philosophy brings up for you ladies. Like, this is something literally I've been waiting for 37 years of my life, definitely 20 years of my adult life, waiting for something like this. And I've had, like I said, pieces of it where I've been like, yes, like Alan Watts and Wayne Dyer and NBC and Byron Katie and, you know, these things that have been pivotal for my relationship with existence. And this one is super mega, and it just happens to be right now as we're I don't know, like a lot of cool things are happening in LSP too, so exciting. Cool. All right, ladies. I'll see both of you tomorrow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
<You're
welcome. laughs>
All right, love you, ladies. Bye.
Bye.